Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 23rd of February, recording at 9:30 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, a quick look at the highlights here today, and it's more of the same. Stock markets in Asia were mostly weaker, not heavily so, and the China A-shares actually scored a small gain on the day. In Europe, stock markets were down with both the UK and the German DAX index down. Well, they were down about 1.25% to over 1.5%, respectively. In the Americas, Wall Street closed. The biggest selling was in the NASDAQ, which is usually the more volatile index, has down 1.21%. The S&P was down 0.61%. Elsewhere in the Americas, actually Brazil is up 0.71%. Here, long-dated government bond prices firmed again in here today, so yields going down a little bit, although we had some they're off the high, so we had some selling coming into the U.S. Market overall, and I see the 10-year bond futures are actually closed, or they're still trading actually, but trading down slightly on the day. The U.S. dollar is soft once again. The dollar index down to 77.38. The euro is pushed up to 137.5. Sterling up over 162. The Aussie back above parity. And the dollar down to 90, just below 99 cents against Canadian cents. What else to mention in precious metals? Well, it's the gold and silver show. Gold is currently trading at 1411, and silver at 33.54, whereas palladium has come back again. It's down to 779. That's down $28. Platinum mostly unchanged, down down a little over a dollar as I speak. It's been the oil story. Crude oil NYMEX did briefly touch $100. It's currently at 98.79. The Brent is probably more indicative of what's going on, and that's just below 112. Most of the Libyan oil goes to Europe. And the industrial metals mixed, so some cessation in that sell-off. And also in the grain and bean complex, they opened quite weak following from yesterday's limit down moves. But then soybeans, corn, and wheat managed to close with modest gains on the day, although rough rice did not. That was still down. That's pretty much it. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, easy to summarize. We have a civil war taking place in Libya, and the Gaddafi forces are sort of concentrating on defending Tripoli, whereas the eastern part of the country seems to be in the hands of the people who are behind the uprising. There have been defections, but there also still appear to be, from all reports, a number of Gaddafi supporters as well. It's a tragedy for the country, obviously. I would think that Gaddafi's position is untenable, but of course he is capable of creating mayhem here in the short term. And that's what the markets are about. I mean, one hopes that this is resolved soon and Libya deserves a better government. But as far as the economic implications, global economic implications and global market implications are concerned, it's all about oil. And it's going in the wrong direction, and inevitably that invites some more speculation in oil futures. And it also causes some alarmist forecasts to be made in terms of what crude oil might actually do. Now, no one knows how this will play out, just like any other situation where the future is unknown. But what we can say is that we do know that Libya was exporting 1.6 million barrels of oil a day. That is about 1.8% of global oil supplies. So, again, while 1.8% does not sound all that significant, when you have supply and demand roughly in balance, it's not insignificant here. The more important consideration is what actually happens to those oil facilities. There is a risk while the civil war persists that some damage can occur, whether due to sabotage or neglect. Hopefully that's minimal, but we just don't know. What we can be very certain of, though, is that whatever form of government does emerge, and I'm thinking this is going to be a post-Gaddafi government, probably some new tribal alliance here of power sharing, but that those people will want to pump oil out as quickly as they can. They'll need it. There's certainly going to be a lot of the humanitarian requirements will be very, very large within Libya. They'll certainly need every penny they can get for food, for rebuilding, and getting their infrastructure, getting their water, getting their power, and so on back online where it's being jeopardized or compromised. Now, so they will want to sell oil, and I would also assume that once safety can be reasonably assured, then the Western oil companies, which were running many of those installations, would be able to get their personnel back in really quite quickly. And indeed, there were reports today that some oil was still being loaded. I think some 600,000 barrels of oil were being loaded. So oil is still leaving Libya, although I doubt that can continue for long under the current circumstances. So that's the situation. The market, stock markets, obviously don't like the uncertainty, and it's easier to sell long positions or to sell short among the very actively managed funds, and that's what we've seen with some selling pressure across the boards in stock markets. I would make the point that this is, unless this escalates throughout the Middle East and particularly jeopardizes Saudi oil production, and I would put that as a pretty low probability overall, less than 10% would be my guess, but it's obviously 10% that wasn't there a couple of weeks ago. If we don't see civil wars in other major oil producing countries, then I would think that the shock to the global economy would be relatively minor, and therefore stock markets would be less affected. We know that with various crises, if they're largely political in nature, then markets can recover very quickly from that. Whereas if you have a financial crisis, the point I made yesterday, if you have a financial crisis, people know that that is going to affect corporate profits, and possibly for a lengthy period, and so that is much, much worse for stock markets. So this is, while this is largely a political crisis, it is, however, exacerbating the commodity price inflation and creating a lot of concern over oil supplies. And I've emphasized over and over and over over the last year or two, and over the last many years, that oil is the big one in terms of global concerns. If we get spikes in oil prices, that is dangerous. So there are certainly no grounds for complacency in here as far as the oil prices is concerned. How to play it? Well, I'm going to ride this out on my long-term positions, again, because this is, I think, primarily a political crisis, although I'm as concerned about the oil price situation as anyone. But I think that this is just sidetracking the cyclical bull market in equities, and that's so it can produce pretty corrections, some of which were overdue. Owen and I have been talking about the overextension on Wall Street and the susceptibility to mean reversion for a number of weeks now. But so I think this is just a correction within this ongoing cyclical bull market, and like all corrections, it will create improved valuations in sectors that are of interest to investors, and all the fuller money themes remain of interest to me. Now, looking at other markets here, long-dated government bond prices have probably seen more short covering than actual investment demand, but there's probably been some of both. And I think if we were to see the Libyan situation resolved tomorrow, that would, in terms of a defeat of the Gaddafi forces or Gaddafi pulling out, I think that would create an environment where the government bond prices then weakened once again, resumed their trend, and then the yield started to push back up. But until that happens, there is a risk that this rally in bond prices and decline in long-dated government bond yields could carry a little bit further. But it's corrected a short-term oversold condition in bond prices and replaced it with a short-term overbought condition in what I think is the early stages of a bear market for bond prices. And I maintain that the long-term trend for these long-dated government bond yields is upwards. In currencies, I think the most interesting development is that the dollar just has not performed as a safe haven in here. And that begs the question that I've asked before. Does this mean that the dollar is no longer regarded as the safe haven that it has been in earlier decades? Well, inevitably that's true. But it then begs the question, what else is the safe haven in here? And there is no fiat currency that is distinguishing itself by being all that strong, and but it is gold, and I think we're seeing less activity in the currencies, just mostly a bit of ranging. But the commodity producing currencies are generally are generally firm, as evidenced by the Canadian dollar and the financial center currencies, Singapore dollar, still holding steady. The Asian currencies generally are a bit bit steady, and the dollar a bit soft, but albeit within ranges. So we're not getting dramatic moves there. And gold is certainly being seen as a safe haven in this environment, and that's understandable. And it's also, this crisis has come following what had been a medium-term mean reversion correction in the price of gold at a time when it is still in a seasonally favorable period through the first quarter of this year. And therefore, the path of least resistance remains upwards, at least until that crude oil price starts coming down. Watch that relationship, because when the crude oil price next gets a clear downward dynamic, that may lead to a setback, quite possibly in gold. And for the most part, palladium and platinum are, just judging from the price action, are being viewed as lesser precious metals, or lesser monetary metals, I should say, than gold and silver. So people who are selling those in favor of gold and silver, people who are selling the platinum and palladium, are concerned by the about the industrial uses for the two metals used as catalytic converters. And I think that's pretty much it. I mentioned that the grain and bean prices have rallied. The global supply situation, that's certainly not going to change overnight, and that's fairly dire. So that lends some support to prices. This is a quiet period seasonally, generally, and that can cause less activity to take place in here overall. And we have seen quite a shakeout in terms of speculative positions overall. It would be nice for the global economy if we'd seen significant peaks in those grain and bean prices. I think, as I said yesterday, we've seen peaks of at least short-term significance, but the fundamental background in terms of global stockpiles remains precarious. And interesting times, again, maybe more interesting than we would actually like. On that note, all the best.